Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
The study of 1 Timothy chapter 5.
And so what do we do? Do we neglect these widows who are widows indeed?
So Paul continues. He says in verse 5a,
what happened to a widow if a widow is desolate? I'm reading verse 5a. Now, a she that is widow indeed and desolate. Now, notice the word desolate. In Hebrew, the thought here is yechida, alone. She doesn't have any more, obviously, no children around to support her, and she doesn't have any family around her at all. She's on her own. He's desolate, helpless. What should the assembly do? Paul is giving the instruction here to the brothers and sisters, to Timothy. You need to take care of her. And to meet her need, that was the responsibility of the assembly years ago, as it was given to them, and it is also an instruction for us as well. Now, immediately I'm reminded of 1 Kings chapter 17. You remember when Elijah Hanavi, when he gave this instruction to Israel, he says there will be no dew and no rain for a long time. For 3.5 years, there was no dew and rain in the land of Israel, in the northern kingdom. And then he fled to an area called Sarefet. And in Sarefet, there was a widow. She had a son, but he had a need as well. And Elijah went to this woman and ministered unto her. This was so precious because Yeshua himself mentioned that in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 4 and verse 25 and verse 26. But I tell you the truth. Many widows were in Israel in the days of Eliyahu, when the heavens were shut up for 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto Tzarephet, a city in Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. You see, the condition of Israel was so sad in the time of the kings, when there was a wicked king by the name of Ahab, who married Jezebel, who led the whole nation into wickedness and idolatry. Then when Elijah came and he brought judgment upon the nation of Israel, God said to Elijah, you're not going to meet the need of the widows in Israel because those widows have followed in Ahab's direction. But there's a widow in Sarefet, in a place that is called Sidon, Sarefet, there Eliyahu, I want you to go to minister to this woman. And Eliyahu went to her. He ministered to her. And ultimately when her son died, he raised her son and he ministered to her. In other words, what we learn, that widow indeed who seek to follow the Lord will be blessed by the Lord and ministered by God's people and God's servant. But Elijah had to go far outside of the land because the land's condition, the people's condition was so sad. But he ministered to a widow. He ministered to her need as he went all the way to the place that is called Sarefet. So a widow must be also a dependent one that had no one to provide for her. Verses 5a. Secondly, from verse 5b to verse 7, a widow ought to have a godly life. Let me give you this list. It says in verse 5b, if she trusted in God and continued in supplication and prayer night and day. See, she's to be supported by the believers if she trusted in God. She didn't forsake God. She had indeed continued in supplication and prayer night and day. She must be a godly woman, a sister, that trusting in God, not trusting in man. Number 2, verse 6 says, but she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she is alive. In other words, if a widow live careless about the things of the Lord and not really following the things of the Lord, well, Paul said she is dead while she is alive. She's dead, you might say, spiritually, not in communication with the Lord. In Revelation chapter 3, the Apostle John says, you have a name that you are alive, but you're really dead. In other words, to be recognized as a widow indeed, you have to have those godly characteristics in your life. Continuing to trust the Lord, continuing in supplication, continuing in prayer night and day. And also not living in pleasure out of the will of the Lord, because then you are like, while you are alive, you are dead while you are still alive. No spiritual growth, no blessing to the people of God. Thirdly, if a widow live a godly life, it says in verse 7, if she lived a blameless life without reproach. It says here in verse 7, and these things give in charge that they may be blameless. Now, that doesn't mean that they are perfect, that they don't make mistake or do not sin, but they have a godly life. They are without reproach. They are living a life for the pleasure of the Lord with all the failure that existing. Then the Apostle Paul said, then you will recognize them as a widow indeed among the people of God. So, if they are desolate, verse 5a, if they are living a godly life, verses 5b to verse 7. They are trusting in God. They are continuing prayer. They do not live in pleasure. And they are living a life without reproach. Then, Timothy, you will reckon them as widows indeed in the local assembly of the living God. Then he continues. And he says in verse 8, he's kind of reflecting on the one that will neglect to take care of his own widow, his own mother or grandmother. It says in verse 8, if any provide not for his own, especially of those of his own house, he is denying the faith and is worse than an infidel. See how strong it is? Can you imagine if somebody doesn't take care of his mother or grandmother who is in a need? He's behaving worse than an infidel. He denied the faith. Because in the faith means that we are to honor your father and your mother. We are to take care of the needs of our family. We are to meet their need, to seek to be a blessing to them. An infidel is an unbeliever. And God help us when we have such an attitude as this. We need the Lord to help us to have a right attitude. So we will treat the widows in a right way, especially those that are members of our own family. Now he continues. In verse 9 now, he gives us the age. It's interesting that the age is given here. Perhaps it is the age they are using even in the system today in many countries. It says in verse 9a, that let not a widow be taken into number under the year of 60 years of age, having been the wife of one man. In other words, he gives us an instruction. She must be above 60 years old. Now, there were widows that were younger than that, but she was not to be placed on that list that will be receiving assistance from the local assembly. The number 60 here is interesting because in the past, I remember when the people get retirement at the age of 60, at least it was for the women, the men it was 65, if I'm correct. Things are changing today. But nevertheless, there's some guidelines here that perhaps some countries used for their own country. 60 years of age, then she could be reckoned as a widow indeed and be numbered among the widows that needed to be ministered to by the assembly. And then we have a 9b. She must be a woman that had been the wife of one man. In other words, she had lived a long life with her husband, and her husband passed away. I guess the Apostle Paul assumed here that if she gets to the age of 60, she probably will not get remarried. Now, things happen, obviously. We know that years ago, people did not live as long as you and I live today. Today, I still heard of a widow who got married at the year of 90. And things are possible, things are perhaps changing, but here we see that she is to be above 60 years of age, and number two, she should be a wife of one man. And that perhaps which also suggests that she have never been divorced, because years ago in the teaching of divorce, the experience of divorce have not happened in the past. And if it happened, it was something that was not spoken about. Not like in the years in which we live in today, that there is so much divorce that is going on, whether it is outside in the world or whether it is within the local assembly, the local churches and so on. And the lesson here is that she is to be a wife of one man. Now, in verse 10, she also has to have a faithful report of good works. And the apostle gives us the five-fold list of the good works that this faithful widow is evident in her life. Look at this list, brothers and sisters, in verse 10. Well reported of good works. And then it gives you these five things. Number one, if she had brought up children. Number two, if she had lodged the strangers. Number three, if she have washed the saints' feet. Number four, if she had relieved the afflicted. And number five, if she had diligently followed every good work. This list is, number one, she had brought up children. In other words, she had children, she raised, she labored, she worked, she ministered to her own children. Number two, if she have lodged strangers. Can you imagine? She must have been an hospital sister. People would come and be guests in her own home, and she had been serving the people of God. Number three, if she washed the saints' feet. What does that mean, to wash the saints' feet? You know, the feet is where we walk on and we travel through, and they get tired and needed to be refreshed. It was our father Abraham in Genesis chapter 18 where the two angels and the Lord came into his own tent. He says, let me wash your feet. Let me minister to you. You know, the washing of the feet is a ministry of refreshment. It was Yeshua, the Mashiach himself, in John chapter 13, that he washed the disciples' feet. Can you imagine? Nobody rose up to wash the disciples' feet, and neither the Lord's feet. Yeshua dressed himself, you say, put himself a garment and so on, take a towel in his hand, and he kneeled down and he began to wash the disciples' feet. That speaks of refreshment and encouragement. You know how we need encouragement in the midst of the people of God, that somebody will give us refreshment. And apparently, a widow indeed is a woman that refreshed the hearts of the saints. If a person come and been hosted by this woman, she would wash his feet and refresh him and encourage him. You might look at that in a physical way, but we can look at that in a spiritual way. Speaking graciously, encouraging the servants of the Lord. This is such a tremendous thing to say about this widow. Then it says if she relieved the afflicted. There are so many people who are afflicted, who have trials in their life. And she was there to assist them, to minister to them. And finally, if she diligently followed every good work. So we can see that she was a real servant of the Lord. Then she could be reckoned among the widows in the local assembly, that they will minister unto her needs as she's gone up in age and lost her loved one. Brothers and sisters, this is just instruction that Apostle Paul is giving to Timothy, how he is to minister to the people of God during the time that he is there, how to instruct them. Now, in verse 11 to verse 16, he's instructing now the young widows. Up to now, he was talking about the older widows, those that are above 60 years of age. Then I can tell you that there are those that live in such a way, and we should really recognize them and appreciate them and minister to them. But now notice he's talking about the younger widows. Now, it's very possible that a younger sister that was married, that her husband had passed away. It happened, you hear it many times in many places, whether he had some sort of a sickness or whether something happened to him and she was left alone. How do we handle a younger sister who is now left alone and become a widow? Well, look what Paul is saying to Timothy. First of all, it says in verse 11, but the younger widows refuse. Now, what does it mean? You don't put them on the list to be taken care of. Not that you cannot minister to them, but the point is they are still young. They are able to function. They can perhaps find a job and taking care of themselves. They are able to do so. So they are not to be part of the list of those that are above 60 years of age. And then he gives them the reason why. Notice in verse 11, he's saying, for when they have begun to wax wanton against the Messiah, they will marry. He gives them the possibility, he says, listen, there may something happen. They are human beings. Their need to be met somehow. And they may not continue to remain a widow. Notice his expression, when they have begun, notice it, begun to wax wanton. When they will want their needs to be met. Then they may change their direction and even they will end up to go, as it says here, against the Messiah, not in the will of the Messiah, and they will end up married. So he gave us the possibility. This is rather sad because if a woman that lost her husband and she is a believer and the Lord opened the door for her to marry, she should marry only, 1 Corinthians 7, in the Lord, in the Messiah, to a believer. But what happened? Because the younger one has a need, and they may would want to get married again, but there is even the possibility that they marry not in the Lord, away from the Lord. And the apostle says, that's one of the reasons why you should not put them on that list of widows, indeed, because they are below the year 60, and they are still young, and they may have a need that they want to fulfill, and therefore they will get married, and may even marry away from the Mashiach, and they will marry in a wrong way. Now, it is wonderful if a person marry in the Lord, if one's husband passed away, and this woman is waiting patiently on the Lord, and the Lord bring before her a believing husband. What a blessing it is, because then she can continue her life to live for the Lord. And that is wonderful if that might happen. But to go against the Messiah and to marry outside of the will of the Messiah, which would ultimately lead her away from the will of the Messiah in her life, the apostle says no. Those young widows should not be placed upon the list of widows to be taken care of by the saints, by the assembly. Now notice verse 12, they may be guilty of abandoning their first pledge to God, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. You know, sometimes it's so possible, it's not that they lose their salvation, but sometimes, you know, when they are desperate, you know, when you are desperate and you don't wait on the Lord, it can happen to a man. It can happen to a woman. It can happen to you and I. If we are not waiting on the Lord and we take a step that is away from the Lord, what happens is that really we become guilty of going in the wrong direction and casting off our first faith, what we devoted ourselves in the beginning. You know, when we say, Lord, you are my Savior, you are my Lord, I will follow you wherever you lead me. But all of a sudden something happened. And you lost one's husband. And then there's a natural need, emotional and physical and so on. And what do we do? How do I handle that? And somehow the enemy is very quickly can come in and lead one astray. That they will end up, as it says here, having casting off their first faith. In other words, where what they began with, they will end up kind of setting it aside and continuing the way of the world. You know, brothers and sisters, this is real in the life of the people of God. That's why the apostle said in Hebrews chapter 12, the sin which does so easily beset us, casting it away, the weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. We are so capable in our own hearts. The hearts of the human race is so deceitful. Our own hearts is desperately wicked. And that's why we needed the help of the Lord. And so Paul is instructing Timothy concerning the younger widow. And now to the conclusion. It says now in verse 13, you see what can happen to a widow that is not waiting on the Lord. And he said, and withal, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers or gossipers also, and busybodies speaking things which they ought not to speak. You see what he's saying? The potential of a widow, and we can also say a widower, is when he or she, and specifically here it is the feminine, if she's not aligning herself with the will of the Lord, she has the danger of becoming, number one, idle, number two, gossiper, and number three, busybody. Isn't it true? There's always a danger. You know what happened, what we do very quickly when we are idle and we have no responsibility? We start to become gossipers. Well, let's pick up the phone. Oh, let me make a visit. And you become a gossiper, and you know what? That is something we need the Lord's help, not to gossip. You know, we often talk about big sins. Maybe that's called a small sin. But that sin has caused so much problems among the people of God. The gossiping, the talking back about somebody else. But then also busybodies, speaking things which they ought not to speak, specifically about those younger widows who is now in a danger of not following the instruction that they are called for. And then it says in verse 14 and 15, Paul is telling them that they ought to do if the Lord opened their door. It says in verse 14, I will, therefore, that the younger women, and here it has a reference specifically in the context to widows, I want them to marry, number one. Number two, I want them to bear children, if possible. Number three, I want them to guide a house. And number four, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachably. See, Paul says, listen, don't go in the wrong direction. Don't be idle. Don't be gossiper. Don't be busybody. Don't say things that you should not say. Wait on the Lord. Pray earnestly. Intercede on behalf of the saints. Serve in the midst of the assembly of the believers. And maybe the Lord will bring about into your life the men that he has for you. Therefore, I will that the younger women will marry, number one, will bear children, number two, if it's possible, of course, will guide the house, and then give none occasion for the adversary to speak reproachfully. He's catching us every time when we are not waiting on the Lord. And he's so able, he's like an angel of light, appearing and trying to seduce us, to lead us in the wrong direction. And if we are not careful, whether it is a widow or a non-widow, we are able to give occasion of the adversary to speak reproach against the people of God. And that's what Satan does. Why do you think we have all these problems that we experience in our own lives? It's not always the fault of somebody else. It's because we did not wait on the Lord and trust in him and prayed and committed ourselves to the Lord. And it's so precious if a widow will sincerely wait on the Lord, trust the Lord. Recently, we had a young sister in the meeting, in our local meeting in Niagara on the lake. Such a precious sister. Waited and waited and waited for the time to get married. And then finally, the Lord gave her the man of her life. But a few years later, he got choked somehow, and he fell down, and he died. And she's now alone. But what do you think she's doing? She continued to serve the Lord. She came to the meetings. She read her Bible. She served in a mission field.
She continued to trust the Lord. And I pray that the Lord will open a door and give her a godly man so she can establish a home and be such a blessing. See, this is so real, beloved brothers and sisters. It's a real life that the Lord, through Paul, to give these instructions to the local assembly at Ephesus. And unless the Lord help us, we all fall apart and we don't please him. And so here's the conclusion, beloved brothers and sisters. In verse 15, he says, for some are already turned aside after Satan. Satan is not going to give them room. He is attacking. He has his own way. And some even turn away after him because he was successful in beguiling. He beguiled Eve in the garden. Has God said, he said to Eve in the garden. And he ended up influencing Eve to take of the tree. And ultimately she gave it to her husband and he ate. And sin came into the world. And he concludes here, verse 16. If a man or a woman that believe have widows, let them relieve those widows. And let not the church be charged or the assembly be charged, that he may relieve them that are widows indeed. He's going back to what he have already said in verse 8. If any provide not for his own, and especially of those of his own household, he's denied the faith and he's worse than an infidel. If any one of us have in their home, really, in their life, a widow, let them take care of them. Let them minister to them. Let them relieve them and not put it as a burden on the local assembly. Take care of your very own family first, and then you will do the will of the Lord. If there are widows, indeed ministered unto those widows indeed. This is very mundane. Why do we need these instructions? Well, this is real. We experience this in our own lives. And the apostle gave this instruction to Timothy for the benefit of the local assembly, and it is for you and I even today.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitam. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., and Saturdays at 1 p.m., at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.